453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line, 855-450-3733. It's Mark with you.
And Derek J.
Derek, I pushed the wrong button.
And Derek J.
Excellent. This is what happens when you get the B crew in.
This guy doesn't know what he's doing.
That's right. Ian is, I don't know, doing something somewhere. And not on the show right now. He will be in later. But you've got the two of us. You know, we do this for a living. What do you want? You can call in at 855-450-3733. Talk to about us. Talk to us about anything you want to talk about. That's one of the things we do here on Free Talk Live. We always come up with things to talk about on our own, and one of the ways we do that is at freetalklive.com, where you can give us news stories or blog posts or videos or whatever you want us to see and you want other people to see, because, you know, not only are you sharing things with us there where people can vote up the stories and vote them down and you can do the same, you're sharing them with a lot of other people. I can't remember what the numbers are, but it's some, like, you know, many tens of thousands of people see these stories. And, you know, it's probably more than your Facebook stream where you're more likely to post these news stories and stuff like that. So while you're posting, post it to freetalklive.com and vote. That's the best way to, you know, get the best stories up and get them down. So go check out freetalklive.com. We've got lots of ways for you to listen there at freetalklive.com. Not only are we on more than 100 great radio stations across the country, and, of course, XM satellite and free-to-air satellite, and you can listen at freetalklive.com, and the cam is at cam.freetalklive.com, where I've just turned it on, and you can go see our pretty faces. But we've got listen lines where you can call in from a telephone and listen that way. All of that at listen.freetalklive.com. So, Derek, this story I have here is somewhat shocking. I'm not sure that it's really about policy. At least that's what the author says here. But it does kind of show you something about America.
Is it a sign of the times?
It is that
type of story. I love those.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
This comes. This comes from a guy who is. It's Grits for Breakfast. blogspot.com. So this is a blog post. This isn't been vetted by anyone. This is a person's experience. I believe he refers to himself in the third person as Grits. It's the best thing I can figure out from this post.
All right, I follow.
I've read it through, one time, and then the important stuff a little more than that. So a few years back, Grits posts the question, "Is babysitting while white reasonable suspicion for police questioning?" After my granddaughter and I were detained and questioned at length in my neighborhood on suspicion of some nefarious deed, I was never quite clear what. In that incident, the police were pretty clear I was stopped solely because Ty, like her mother, who came to live with my wife and me when she was a child, is black, while I'm almost stereotypical-looking white Texas redneck. At the time, Grits was amazed that three squad cars were dispatched to question me for walking down the street with a child of a different race, detaining me for no good reason and scaring the bejesus out of my then 2-year-old Ty. Last night, though, Ty and I got the full jump-out boys treatment, making our earlier interaction with the Austin PD seem downright quaint. It could only have been more ridiculous if they actually had arrested me, for which, for a while there, didn't seem out of the question. This is a personal tale, much more than a policy analysis, so if you're only interested in the latter, don't bother to read further. Our story began at the Millennium Youth Center in Central East Austin, which is a city-owned rec center just a few blocks from my home of 22 years. Ty, age 5, often spends the night with us on Fridays to give Mom and Dad a night off, and we'd taken her there to go roller skating after dinner out as a reward for a week's worth of excellent behavior scores in kindergarten.
Aw, right. She seems innocent enough. This is great.
Perhaps at 7:40 p.m. or so, after she'd had her fill of skating, if the event were put to music, the appropriate theme song would have been "Slip, Slide, and Away." I'm not sure what he's trying to allude to about the event, but whatever. I asked Ty if she'd like to walk home and let Grandma take the car. It was cool but pleasant out, and we were just a short distance from the house with a city bike path where we often walk dogs together, taking us most of the way there. She was elated. This sounded like a big adventure. Within moments, she was bouncing off the walls of excitement, making me think that a walk home was just a thing to burn off some energy before bedtime.
Kids love that.
Yeah, this sounds exactly like a grandfather
She's dragging grandfather along and saying, ooh, can we walk? Okay, so he's following along. Then what?
This was a terrible mistake on Grandpa's part. Not because we live in a relatively rough neighborhood. I know many of my neighbors, saints and scoundrels alike, and I did not and do not fear becoming a crime victim walking that route, even with a five-year-old in tow. No, apparently the only folks Ty and I had to fear that night were in uniform. Our interaction with law enforcement began after we left the Millennium Center on foot, with the giddy five-year-old racing ahead and me trotting along behind, admonishing her to stay out of the traffic. Stay out of the parking lot and stop when she gets to the sidewalk and don't run into the street, etc.
He's being a good host there, making sure she's safe.
She was in a good mood, obeyed, and held hands crossing the street as we walked down the bike path toward Boggy Creek and back home. Then behind us, I heard someone calling out, though I couldn't make out what was said. We stopped to look back, and there was a dark silhouette crossing the street who Ty thought was calling out to us. We waited, but then the silhouette figure stopped, crouched down for a moment, and then took a few steps back toward the rec center, appearing to speak to someone there. I shrugged it off, and we walked on, but in a moment, the figure began walking down the path towards us again, calling out when she was about 150 feet away. We stopped and waited. It was a brown-suited deputy constable, apparently out of breath from the short walk. She told me to take my hand out of my pocket and step away from Ty, declaring that someone had seen a white man chasing a black girl and reported a possible kidnapping. Then she began asking the five-year-old about me. Now, think about this for a second. I understand that it's out of place. I've got that. A white man and a black girl. It's out of place. No doubt about it. But if a white guy was chasing a white kid or a black guy was chasing a black kid, no one in their right mind would call the police.
No way. Yeah, this is a totally racially charged claim by the police officer.
You know, but
here,
I kind of understand the initial groundwork here. I kind of get
not
the initial
part. Not much investigative work, though.
Right. So anyway, take your hands out of your pocket, step away from the little black girl, mister, and
oh, gosh.
Well, that's what happened here. And the last time she began asking the five-year-old about me, the last time this happened, Ty was barely two and wasn't about to let the police question her. This time, though, at least initially, I decided to let her answer. Do you know this man? The deputy asked. Yes, Ty mumbled shyly. He's my grandpa. The deputy couldn't understand her, though I did, and moved closer, hovering over the child, slightly repeating the question. If anybody here has kids, they know that they understand their kid a heck of a lot better than everybody else does. I mean,
right.
I can understand everything that my son Jack says. And, you know, they've got those high little vocal cords that aren't easy for people to understand that don't have kids.
Well, and they're just learning to speak, too. They're pretty new at this thing. Yeah. So, yeah, they have a different speech pattern.
Right. So Ty mumbled the same response, this time louder, but muffled through a burgeoning sob that threatened to break out in lieu of an answer. The deputy still didn't understand her. What did you say? She repeated. He's my grandpa! Ty finally blurted out, and sharply and clearly, and then rushed back over to me and grabbed the hold of my leg. Okay, said the deputy, relaxing, acknowledging the child probably wasn't being held against her will. As we were talking, a car pulled up behind her on the bike path with its brights on. I couldn't tell what agency it was with. Then she pulled out her pad and paper and asked, can I get your name, sir, for my report? I told her I'd prefer not to answer any questions and would like to just leave. If I were free to go, so she could get the child to bed. So that I could get the child to bed. She looked skeptical, but nodded, and Ty and I turned tail and walked towards home.
Like now, the report is something important to follow through on now that she's run across the street here and chased down this grandpa, horrified a small child. Now it's time to pause and save your day so I can do this report now?
Yeah. Ty was angrier about this even than I was. Why is that? She demanded a few steps down the path. Why is it that, she said, stomping her feet and swinging her lower arm, she said, that the police won't ever believe you're my grandpa. In our earlier run-in, she had clearly made an impression, though she hadn't mentioned it in ages. Why do you think it is? I asked, hoping to fend her off with a Socratic method. She paused and said sheepishly, because you're white? I grinned at her and said, well, that's part of it, for sure, but we don't care about that, do we? No, she said sternly, and walked across the bridge towards Boggy Creek.
Aww.
We'll continue this story here in a moment. You can give us a call at 855-450-3733.
Where do you want to go today? It's the 1,000 Places Travel Minute with Patricia Schultz, renowned travel expert and author of the number one New York Times bestseller, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die, with one more place to add to your traveler's life list.
Italy's Amalfi Coast is one of my 1,000 places to see before you die. The stunningly beautiful Amalfi Drive is a 30-mile stretch of hairpin curves that unfurls between Amalfi and Sorrento in southern Italy. One of those towns is tiny, picturesque Amalfi, once the heart of a powerful maritime republic as early as the 9th century. A hint of the East shows up in its Duomo di Sant'Andrea, simply called Il Duomo. Other places that beg you to linger are Ravello, perched 1,000 feet above Amalfi and aptly described as the place where poets go to die. The hazy outline of Mount Vesuvius dominates the view from clifftop Sorrento, favored among 19th century British travelers for its mild winters.
For more tips and information on the very best places to visit on your travels, please visit Patricia Schultz at 1000places.com. Do you know over 6 million people a year visit the Eiffel Tower? What you may not know is that just around the corner is a hidden cafe with the best croissants in Paris. When you travel with Trafalgar, you'll travel with an insider who will show you must-see sights and share unique experiences. So call 1-866-544-4434 today for a free brochure or visit us at trafalgar.com. See the world from the inside with Trafalgar.
Here on Free Talk Live, we've been pretty excited about the Bitcoin. It's a decentralized, free market digital currency. You can learn more about it at weusecoins.com. But if you already have some bitcoins and you'd like to spend them, you can spend them at spendbitcoins.com. When you spend bitcoins on Amazon via spendbitcoins.com, Free Talk Live gets a cut. Or if you're an Australian trying to figure out how to buy bitcoins, you can buy them with cash at au.spendbitcoins.com. Once again, that's spendbitcoins.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Do you use a CPAP breathing device to help treat sleep apnea and prevent snoring? If so, you should know big insurance companies and government regulations can affect the way you buy sleep apnea equipment. They decide what devices you receive, when you get replacement equipment, and even what you pay. Why limit the quality of your treatment? Break away from institutionalized healthcare and shop where you set the sleep therapy standard. Shop at CPAP.com. See what? CPAP. It stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. CPAP.com has the equipment you want in stock and ready to ship today. Visit CPAP.com to see all of your sleep apnea equipment options. Or call toll-free 1-855-SNORE-11. That's 1-855-766-7311 to speak with a friendly sleep apnea expert who will answer all of your questions. Mention this ad for free shipping. Again, that's CPAP.com. CPAP.com. CPAP. Your money, your treatment, your choice.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line. A live Tuesday night edition of Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
And Derek J.
855-450-3733. Call in. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. We've been talking about this story about Grandpa getting harassed for taking a walk with his granddaughter. First, Bitcoin's the world's first anonymous digital cash. With Bitcoins, there are no contracts to sign or terms of service to abide by. Anyone can download the free Bitcoin software and be using them in just a few minutes. With Bitcoins, you can send and receive money anywhere in the world with no fees and without needing the permission from any bank or government. To learn how, visit weusecoins.org. And now, thanks to BitInstant.com, you can have Bitcoins in less than an hour by depositing cash at any major bank. To buy your Bitcoins with cash, visit BitInstant.com. It's BitInstant.com and WeUseCoins.org. It's great, great links if you want to find out more about the new digital currency called Bitcoins. So, Derek, let's go on with the story about this grandpa named Grits.
This is such an unusual story. I mean, he's probably used to people balking a bit and being a little confused, but unlike the majority of people, he's pretty equally dismissive of this police officer who's asking him questions.
Indeed. He has been harassed by the police officer for basically having a black granddaughter and walking home with her. And then the police officer says, "May I have your name for my report, please?" And he says, "You know, no thanks. I'm just going to head on home." Just like he might be free or something.
As if.
We'll see how that goes for him. Okay.
Oh, no.
Because the plot thickens. So, he asks his granddaughter, "Well, why do you think they stopped us?" And says, "Because you're white." And she says, "But the police should leave you alone. It's not right they want to arrest you for being my grandpa." She's five. More prescient words were never spoken. Just as Ty uttered these words, I made her hold my hand so we could trot across 12th Street amidst the sporadic Friday night traffic, waiting for a police car to pass just before heading right across just west of the railroad tracks. Literally, my intentions were, the moment we made it safely across the street, to resume our conversation, to explain to Ty that nobody wanted to arrest me for being her grandpa, that it wasn't against the law, and that the deputy had only stopped us to make sure Ty was safe. But we never got a chance to have that conversation. As soon as we crossed the street, just two blocks from my house, as the crow flies, the police car was that had just passed hit the lights and wheeled around, with five others appearing almost immediately, all with lights flashing. The officers got out with tasers drawn, demanding I raise my hands and step away from the child.
What?
Now, they had just done this, right?
Oh, my gosh. So couldn't the officer just be like, "Hey, guys, not a problem. Just ask the little girl. Everything's fine."
Well,
so
the
she
officer
didn't do that?
We'll see here in just a second. Now, you know, if anything goes wrong, they're quick to radio in and say what's happened. But if something goes right, I mean, did this officer fail to radio in? That's what I'm thinking may have happened. But we'll just go on here, and you can draw what conclusions you draw from this story. I complied, okay. And then they roughly cuffed me, jerking my arms up behind me needlessly. This is
right
what
in front of the little girl.
This is what happens, man.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know how many times police officers cuff people nicely and put them in the back of cars. Maybe it's the majority of the time. I don't know. But when I see video, I see people yanking other people's arms, cops yanking other people's arms around.
Right, and that's been my experience. That's awful.
Rotator cuffs are, they're easily damaged. You can hurt somebody in the short term, get pain compliance and all that stuff, but you can cause a lifetime worth of injuries playing around with rotator cuffs, or, their shoulder. I mean, it's this kind of, I don't know, it's this loose little joint, and it can be easily damaged, and you got to be careful.
Sure can.
I mean, of course, you're talking to a guy who doesn't watch football, because I always feel bad for those guys getting in hitting each other as hard as they do.
But, and then the other damage is the unseen damage of the young girl's emotions, plus the grandpa. I imagine he's pretty,
well, at this point, she'd already seen her grandpa hassled when she was two, and then just a few minutes ago, and now again. She might be coming to the conclusion that she is bad and wrong because she is black. Like, this may be a conclusion that she comes to. Like, I am dangerous to my family because I'm black.
Well, the circumstances around it would might lead her to believe that, unfortunately.
Meanwhile, Ty edged up the hill away from the officers, crying. One of them called out in a comforting tone that they weren't there to hurt her. But another officer blew up any goodwill that might have been garnered by brusquely snatching her up and scuttling her off to the back seat of one of their police cars. By this time, more cars had joined them. They maxed out at about 9 or 10 police vehicles.
Whoa!
I gave them... Now, this is for a grandpa walking his granddaughter home. I gave them phone numbers they needed to confirm who Ty was and that she was supposed to be with me and not in the back of their police car. But for quite a while, nobody seemed interested in verifying my story. One officer wanted to lecture me needlessly about how they were just doing their job, as if the innocent person handcuffed on the side of the road cares about such excuses. I asked why he hadn't made any calls yet, and he interrupted his lecture to say, "We've only been here 2 minutes, give us time." Actually, it had been longer than that. "Maybe so," I replied, sitting on the concrete in handcuffs, "but there's nine of y'all milling around here just doing nothing by my count, so between you and what you've got here is 18 minutes for somebody to get on the damn phone by now so y'all can figure out who screwed up." Admittedly, this does not go over well. I could tell I was too angry to say anything constructive and silently vowed to keep mum from then on. As all this was happening, the deputy constable who'd questioned us before was walking up to the scene and began conversing with some of the officers. She kept looking over at me nervously as I stood 20 feet or so away in handcuffs, averting her gaze whenever our eyes risked meeting. I seemed pretty clear she was the one who'd called on the cavalry, and it was equally clear that she understood she was in the wrong. A supervisor arrived and began floating around among the milling officers. I have no idea what function most of these cops thought they were fulfilling. Finally, she sidled up to repeat the same lecture I'd heard from the young officer pup who'd handcuffed me. "When we get a call about a possible kidnapping, we have to take it very seriously," etc., etc. By this time, though, I'd lost patience with that shtick. Interrupting her repetitive monologue, I explained that I could care less how they justified what they were doing. And could they please stop explaining themselves, focus on their jobs, and get this over with as soon as possible so Ty and I could go home? She paused as though she wanted to argue, and then her shoulders slumped a bit, and she half-smiled and replied, "Fair enough." Wheeling around and issuing inaudible directions to some of the milling officers, all of whom appeared to continue doing nothing just as before. Not long after that, they released us. Ty told me that the back of the police car she'd been questioned not just about me, but about her personal life, or as she put it, all my business. She talked about her school, what she'd been doing that evening, to name all the people in her family, and pressed her to say if I or anyone else had done anything to her. Ty was frustrated, and she said later that they kept repeating the same questions. This is a pretty common law enforcement technique. Apparently hoping for different answers, she didn't understand why, after she'd told them who I was, the police didn't just let me go. And then it became clear they wouldn't take her word for it. She began to fear the police would take me away and leave her alone with all those scary police officers.
Oh, my.
Now, imagine here for a second. I mean, you know, cops do their very, very level best to be, you know, Johnny Good Guy when it comes to the kids. But, you know, I mean, it's incidents like this where the huge overreaction goes into play here. I mean, it's one thing to have the lady come up and ask some questions. It's another thing entirely to bring these 10 cop cars in and throw this guy in, you know, put him in cuffs.
And she's in a police car. They're asking her the same questions over and over. That's so intimidating and horrifying for a young child.
Yeah. Well, story goes on. 855-450-3733. You can call in, comment on this, tell us your story. 855-450-FREE. Free Talk Live.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Get over 6,000 preparedness items. Get you ready. That's what you'll find at GetReadySurvival.com. Over 6,000 preparedness items. And counting, because we're adding new items nearly every day. GetReadySurvival.com has it all. Small and family-sized tents, backpacks, sleeping bags, food supplies. Get yours at GetReadySurvival.com. Portable water filters, canteens and hydro packs, knives, axes, shovels, compasses, camouflage and tactical gear, fire starters and ammunition. It's all at GetReadySurvival.com. How about first aid medical, emergency or small personal survival? survival kits.
Get yours at GetReadySurvival.com.
If you are not prepared or just semi-prepared,
the place to get prepared now is GetReadySurvival.com.
Got questions? Call 928-541-9723.
That's 928-541-9723.
Or go to
GetReadySurvival.com.
And remember, survival preparedness means living
on your own terms.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. And the answer is, Ali C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Live Tuesday night edition of Free Talk Live with Mark
and Derek J.
Just give us a call at 855-450-3733. We'll discuss anything you want. The 800 number, that's 855-450-3733. It's toll-free and is brought to you by SACL CAI. SACL CAI is a company that handles accounts receivable. They can handle it for your business. They'll do it in a manner that treats your clients with respect. They know that not only you want to collect your money, but you want to keep your clients, too. It's SACL CAI. See their banner at freetalklive.com. It's top one on the right-hand side of the page. You'll be happy you did business with them and do business with companies that do business with Free Talk Live. That number, 855-450-3733. We're reading a story. It's a blog post, so, you know, there's no corroborating evidence to this, but it seems like a very, you know, heartfelt story. Seems like the facts are... It feels real to me, I guess, is the way I'd like to describe it. It's about a guy who was walking home with his granddaughter, and apparently their only crime is to have been different ethnicities.
I can really see this happening. I mean, this woman and then her fellow officers just totally overreacted. I can understand them being concerned about a kidnapping. You know, it sounds like they were all really investigating that kidnapping. They wanted to solve this crime, but this is not the way to go about it.
And after the first contact with the police, there's a second contact. And it leads the story leads me to believe that basically they hassled the crap out of this guy for refusing to give, not wishing to give his name for their report.
Right. He wasn't following the orders that they wanted them
to. Pretending like he had rights and that the Bill of Rights still existed and all these things. And You know, we've moved into a hyper-vigilant police state. Mm-hmm. There's a story, maybe we'll tell you about it a little later on this evening, that happened here in Keene, New Hampshire, this morning. And, you know, some guy goes out with a gun. I mean, this is New Hampshire. People have guns all the time.
Yeah. That's...
Apparently it had some, you know, harsh words with his wife. I can't say. And they brought out the helicopters and the dogs and the whole nine yards. Cops all over the woods for a guy with a gun. In New Hampshire.
Just must have spent tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on just today's investigation.
Yep.
So, yeah, this sort of thing happens. Just here.
Hypervigilance. And, you know, I mean, when you have been that vigilant and then you look foolish for having done it, you want to find ways to make yourself look less foolish. Hey, you know, it's important that we do this. And so, I mean, you know, if you're going to have good guys scouring the neighborhoods looking for kidnappers, then you have to have a bad guy, right?
Right. You got to make someone into a bad guy.
Yeah, the story goes on here, and the bad guy's in cuffs, giving the, and we're reading the story afterwards, talking about his granddaughter and what happened. On the upside, Ty said that when they were through questioning her, one of the officers let her play with his flashlight, which she considered a high point. Don't you miss life being just that simple? Part of the answer, of course, to Ty's very good question about why I wasn't released when she confirmed my identity is that I was in handcuffs and she was in police custody before anybody asked anyone anything. Seize first and ask questions later is better than shoot first, I suppose, but it's problematic for the same reasons. I found out later police had told my wife and Ty's mom that I'd refused to let them question the child.
Whoa.
A patent lie, since they'd whisked her away into the back of a police car while I was handcuffed. I wasn't in a position to refuse anything at that point.
Just justifications for what they're doing, treating other people as if they're their property.
And I don't know how often this happens, but I kind of feel like these officers will tell fibs and twist the stories in order to make themselves look better. This is normal human behavior.
Right.
And to suggest that police are more than normal humans is ludicrous to me. And I just, you know, if you don't do something wrong in the first place, you don't have to come up with lies to cover it afterwards.
It just gets me, because the supervisor was there. I mean, couldn't the supervisor have just cleared things up? They're usually the ones who take the ball.
The supervisor was doing,
like,
the same thing 5 years ago.
Right.
I mean, you know, these people are trained in this behavior. Most of them are ex-military, where they don't have to worry about bills of rights and things like that. And they don't, if police have to worry about it either. It's not like they lose their jobs for violating someone's rights. How often does that happen?
Well, I guess the incentives aren't there, but whenever I see some police chief on TV taking the fall for someone on his force, I thought that was part of their job, to be like, oh, hey, we went a little too far, violated someone's freedom, sorry about that.
We don't do that around here. So how hard would it have been to perform a safety check without running up on me like I'm John Dillinger and scaring the crap out of my 5-year-old? I didn't resist or struggle, but they felt obliged to handcuff me and snatch the kid up for interrogation away from any adult family member. Now, I don't like this either, you know, asking questions to 5-year-olds without their parents present. 9 police cars plus the deputy constable all showing up to investigate the heinous crime of babysitting while white. Moreover, there was no apology to be had at the end of this charade, to me or to Ty. They interrogated the child, but no one tried to comfort her beyond handing her a flashlight to play with. And then, when it was over, not one of those officers, the supervisor included, thought to take a moment to try to explain to the child what had happened.
Oh, they don't need to apologize. They were just doing their jobs, Mark.
Why they behaved the way they did towards her family, or why they treat her grandpa like a criminal. They just opened up the door to the squad car as the cuffs were coming off me and Ty and came running back and leapt into my arms with such force it almost knocked me down. After the cuffs were off, I said nothing to the APD cops as I carried the child towards home, but I did pause as I passed the deputy constable, who could still barely look me in the eye, this was the initial lady, to say aloud to her, "You knew better. This is on you." Ty was understandably shaken by the incident, and as we walked towards home, she told me about her interactions with the officers and peppered me with questions about why this and that and everything that happened. You know, for these police officers, this incident is over.
Right.
You know, no harm, no blood, no foul, whatever. Everything's fine.
Yeah, and they collect a sweet paycheck, too.
For this family, this incident's going to live with them forever.
Oh, yeah. The little girl still remembers the time when she was two.
I don't remember anything from being two.
Well, when you're five, it helps. But it just happened. It was pretty fresh in their memory. I mean, if this is happening when she's two and now it's happening when she's five, how many more times is it going to happen in her lifetime?
Well, just think about this for a second. What happens when Grandpa's walking down the street with his 14 or 15-year-old black granddaughter?
Well, I don't know what you're suggesting is
going to
be different
then. Prostitution at that point, not kidnapping.
Right. Well,
so then his daughter's branded a hooker by the cops. Now at this point she's different and wrong because obviously the other kids don't have their grandpa stolen away from them on a reasonably regular basis. Then she's going to be a hooker as far as the cops are concerned. I mean, where does it all end?
I'm sorry to laugh because I mean it's absurd to the point of being funny, but it's really not funny that these people's lives are being destroyed and their emotions. I mean, how is a young girl supposed to trust the police now? Is that ever going to happen in her life after being thrown into the back of a police car and asked the same questions, all intimidating? And then, excuse me, no apology from any of them? I'm so glad that this guy, Gritz is his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's saying that you knew better and this was on you, talking to the policewoman. Good for him holding her accountable.
You know, you would think just stopping and talking, hey, how's everybody doing this evening? You know, just asking a question like that, in most cases, it would seem to me that the child would feel like she had enough, you know, there's a good guy police officer right there. Mm-hmm. I can say, I don't know this man, help me.
Right.
You would think that would be plenty within the contact. Like, we don't have to throw anybody in the back of a car. I mean, at that point, everybody's butt is covered or whatever. I mean, it's still strange. It's still odd that somebody would be, you know, the cops would be pulling over and asking questions. But, you know, just saying something. And that would probably be the end of the story.
Yeah, seriously.
With, you know, just saying, hey, how's the evening go? Where are you guys headed to? You know, something like that. Just a couple of nonchalant questions would give plenty of time for a kidnap victim to say, hey, save me, save me.
Yeah, don't they teach the kids what they're supposed to say? Things like, this man's a stranger, you're not my mommy, you're not my daddy.
You'd think she
would be flailing and running towards the cop, I'm sure.
They certainly do their very best to teach them that the police officers are their friends. I'm thinking the police are doing their level best to teach this girl just the opposite, though.
Mm. Actions speak louder.
855-450-FREE. Free Talk Live.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid Zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe. 100% amazing. Try Liquid Zeolite today.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla.
For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line, 855-450-3733. Call in, talk about what you want to talk about. We've been talking about a story here. It's gritsforbreakfast.blogspot.com. Posted by a gentleman who refers to himself as Grits. I assume that's the Grits for Breakfast part. And his adventure, taking his granddaughter home from the community center a couple of blocks from his house.
Adventure. It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And any interaction with police.
And it appears that, the largest crime he's committed is babysitting while white.
Right.
That he's got crime. A black granddaughter. Apparently, the mother of his daughter was came to live with them at some point in her early youth, and they raised her as their own. I don't know what the story is there, but God bless him.
Well, yeah, and he said he was giving the mom a night off,
and he managed to raise that black child without incident. But in the new hypervigilant United States, where anything can go wrong and there's rapists around every corner, in that world, he's been stopped twice now with his now 5-year-old. Well, actually, 3 times if you conclude, 2 evenings, 2 times in 1 evening. And this is the story about the second evening.
It's a grandpa terrorist, babysitting terrorist.
That's right. So now he's having a discussion with his daughter about what happened on the way home. He's trying to get her to bed, and I can imagine she had a pretty rough night. And she's probably going to have a lot of nightmares about, being snatched up, put in the back of a police car, and having her grandpa. She knew. Let me get you ready. She said that she tried to be brave because she knew I'd get into trouble if the police didn't believe her. She was right about that. And she was especially scared that when she thought they weren't going to accept her word for it. So she was afraid that if she didn't do things right, kids are this way. They blame themselves for divorces. They blame themselves for lots of things. And I suspect this child is blaming herself to some extent for the what's happening to her grandfather. So she's going to, the results of this evening and whatever evening it was, they weren't really clear as to what evening this occurred. But it seems it wasn't posted too long ago. So I can only assume that it was a relatively new incident.
Well, at least she's asking questions about it rather than simply blaming herself. She is asking Grandpa, why did this happen? And so she may be blaming herself a little bit inside.
Who knows? I mean, you know, kids are real funny, and they live in a world where they're the little ones. They're the weak ones. They can be picked up and moved around and forced to do things. They make all kinds of decisions in a world where they're not the big people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't know what she's going to think, but it would seem reasonable that she's going to think, I'm bad because somehow or another, because of my color, my grandpa keeps on getting in trouble. And she's liable to think that, you know, police are mean people. They're out after me.
Well, at least she still is clear that her grandpa is a good person.
Because
he had his priorities in the right place. He was just trying to get her home to read her a story before bed.
So as we turned onto the last block home, two of the police cars that had detained us passed by, and Ty visibly winced with fear, lunging towards me and wrapping her arms around my leg. I petted and tried to comfort her, but she was pretty disturbed and confused by the whole episode. Luckily, it also left her exhausted, so she was out like a light as soon as we got home. Half an hour past her bedtime this morning, she stated bluntly that she had decided not to think about it, a practice my wife encourages when bad things happen, and it seems to be working. She's her normal happy self, though. At the park this afternoon, she wanted to pretend we were hiding from kidnappers. But I hated for a 5-year-old to be subjected to such an experience. I'd like her to view the police as people she can trust instead of threats to her family and her, but it's possible I live in the wrong neighborhood for that.
Wow.
So
it's so sad that the young girl decided to just not think about the incident. I mean, she's got legitimate questions about what had just happened, and I'm sure the Grandpa Gritz had his own questions, but wouldn't it be nice if they just investigated this story, did some follow-up with, like, each other, if they just called in to the police department and said, hey, you know, what was that about? Maybe you can explain it to my 5-year-old granddaughter.
She is thinking about this, though. I mean, if she wanted to, at the park, she wanted to pretend that they were hiding from kidnappers, she's thinking about this. Now, she may not be talking about it, and I don't like this family's particular way of dealing with this situation, but, you know, it's hard when somebody's, you know, doesn't want to, you know, when somebody doesn't want to talk about something, it's difficult to kind of bring it up and discuss it with them. You know, communication's important in situations like this, and I don't particularly like their practice, and I don't know what's going to happen here, but this hypervigilance that comes along with the new America police state, the new post 9/11, new post Columbine America, where we as a country have made these collective decisions that the world is a dangerous place. We must protect ourselves. Only the government officials are the ones to be trusted. These kind of decisions, what's going to happen? What's going to result? Because we had a pretty good America before these decisions.
I don't know. I wasn't around, but I can tell you, I hope that the new America, as you call it, doesn't stifle communication among families, because that seems to be what's happening. They had an unfortunate encounter with agents of the state, and now they're refusing to communicate with one another about this. A very serious issue.
Speaking of communication, the agents of the state didn't say I'm sorry. Now, this is important from a legal standpoint that they not say they're sorry, because if you say you're sorry, you have admitted guilt to something. But from a societal standpoint, they may have actually solved some of their problems by giving a heartfelt apology for detaining a grandfather for walking home with his granddaughter.
Right, so there are some perverse incentives in the law.
Perverse incentives, and it, you know, I mean, it's just, this is bad, bad news.
Well, you know, I just like to think of it as, if to this young girl, she just sees a person in a costume. I don't know if she really sees a police officer in the same way that maybe I or you see a police officer. So,
I don't know. But I don't know what she thinks.
If these two people were to run into an aggressive person or just some scary, crazy person who wanted to steal Ty away from her grandpa, as these police did, they put her in a cruiser and put him on the sidewalk in cuffs, the grandpa and Ty could just walk away, or the grandpa could fight off the attacker, because he's probably pretty young if he's blogging, but they can't just walk away from police. 9 cop cars showed up, and this guy didn't even raise his voice or even a fist.
Hmm.
So the police here are the ultimate bullies because, I mean, they'll kill you if you don't do what they want you to do.
Yeah, if he tried to, in that case, they certainly would have. I remember at my school, they had this puppet that they would bring in called Officer Ollie. And they would, I seem to remember some guy in a costume, too, but looked different. I don't know. You're talking about, 35 years ago. But they had this, character that would come into school and say, "Hi, kids, I'm Officer Ollie, and I'm your friend." And at the time, I'm not going to say that wasn't true. I mean,
Officer Ollie was your friend.
For that time frame, for me, police officers didn't become something besides my friend until I started, frankly, driving a motor vehicle.
Right.
That's when they became something less than my friend,
You're not alone. I think that's the case for a lot of folks. Once they get it behind the wheel of a car, everything changes. Oh my gosh, these cops aren't treating me like I'm, just some regular person. They're treating me like I'm a suspect every time I encounter them.
It was a different America. But, thinking about what happened today here in Keene, and I'll just restate that some guy basically took a gun early in the morning, went out into the woods in his short sleeves, which is strange behavior. Upset after an argument with his wife. He had, some kids. He left the kids with her. I mean, it was early in the morning. What are you going to do, wake him up? And the whole town went insane. Helicopters and the whole deal. Now, to some extent, this is a play for their Bearcat. They're like, "Look, Keene's a dangerous place.
Crazy.
We need a Bearcat."
Well, they also locked down the school, as I understand.
Locked in is the term that they used. The students were to be kept in their classrooms, not moved from classroom to classroom like normal. And I guess the teachers, I assume, moved from classroom to classroom. I don't know.
Right. And there was an older gentleman.
You tried to deliver a bag lunch to your kid and didn't have any kind of idea what was going on, you probably would have been taken out by a sniper today.
Might
be a bit of hyperbole, but I can't imagine what it would have been like if you would have come to the school for... Because when I was a kid, that's what happened. I remember distinctly my mom bringing my lunch to my classroom when I had forgotten it at home.
How embarrassing.
Well, it happened all the time. Some kid or another was leaving their lunch at home. Nothing unusual there, but they would, either that or they drop off
to
the front
today.
Office. I can't even imagine. You can't even imagine. 855-450-3733. But how has school changed since you were a kid? Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering Amazon through our website. Go to shop.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a portion of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site at shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at crossbreedholsters.com. Again, that's crossbreedholsters.com.